Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, Linda.
Welcome to Truvon Talks. We have a special topic today for you.
Yes, excited for this one because I think it's super common, and that is dating a project, falling in love with potential instead of who someone is right here, right now, in this moment.
Yeah, after you shared that with me this morning, I went on and looked at some TikToks about what it means to date a project. I'd never heard that phrase before.
What did you learn?
I learned what it means. Good question. I learned that for some reason, some people have a need to fix others. A particular mold or shape that person, just kind of like an inner need from themselves to create and fix what they want in a person to be what they want. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Like, I think instead of going out and having this kind of like these standards and this expectation of what you're looking for and what you need in a relationship to feel safe and loved, you find someone that is like, it's if they just did X, Y, and Z, they'd be perfect. And so I can fix them. I can heal them and I can make them into X, Y, and Z, and then they'll be perfect for me. Yeah. Raise your hand if you are guilty of that. Both our hands went up. Yes.
Oh yeah. I, you know, even in high school though, I dated a guy I didn't know he was a project. He has since passed, of course, and went on to the next life. And he had like some mental health stuff going on. That's okay. And I later found out he was selling drugs. So, I don't do drugs. I don't mess how I ended up with someone that was, you know, partaking of the things. I was like, oh, I'm drawn to people who have, you know, some presenting things that I think I can fix and win them over. Like, you know, bad guy to turn into a good guy kind of scenario.
Yeah.
Like, oh. What's that about?
Yeah, some people might refer to it as savior complex. I think it's a little strong. I'm not a huge fan of that phrase, but that's a common one. Yeah, but I mean, I don't blame us as humans for doing that because I think the media tells us that that's what a strong, like, enduring love is, right? Like all these rom-coms and it's like, you know, the girl finds the bad guy and she turns him around.
Oh,
she saves him, right? Or the guy saves the girl, pretty woman, right? He takes her off the street and they fall in love.
Yeah, that's what got me thinking. I'm like, oh yeah, Pretty Woman was a project, wasn't it? Richard Gere, Saving Julia Roberts. I know that wasn't their names in the movie.
I don't remember their names in the movie either, but those are the actors. Yep.
Like, you know, this is what she does for a living, and then I can rescue her by making her life perfect and giving her things and dressing her.
I might give her this new environment. Who wouldn't want all of this? Yeah.
She'll never go back to that former career because I'm making it perfect, you know, here.
Like if I invest enough time, energy, resources, and love into you, that's got to be it. It's got to be all it takes, right?
That's
you'll
all
change
it takes.
You'll change, you'll be perfect, and we'll live happily ever after, right?
Yeah. Good boy or bad boy gone good. Yeah. Bad boy gone good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the Twilight series. Yeah, I did this in
I was
class.
thinking that too. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. My husband's a teacher, and he says, I was telling him that this was our topic for today, and he was like, oh, I see this all the time with my students. Just like the people they pick are clearly not a good fit.
Yeah. I mean, if someone's stalking you and ends up in your bedroom at night, that's a flag. That's a red flag, okay? That's a red flag.
Are you talking about the Twilight, Edward Cullen, right? He's like in the
I mean, he's staring at you in the lunchroom and he doesn't stop staring at you and it's giving you little hairs going up on your head, your back. You're like, oh.
Here's the thing, in all these movies, right, and books and whatever, the bad guy or the bad girl, and I'm using that in quotes, whatever, it is usually so honest to about it too. I'm not right for you. You deserve better than me. I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to let you down. When someone tells you about them, listen. Take
Believe.
them at their word. Believe them. Yeah. Why don't we believe them?
Don't we
Why
believe
are we
them?
such a sucker for that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's a great question, Rachel. Well, if I can rescue you, if you're my project and I can shape you and mold you and make you what I want you to be from something that's toxic or bad, then I get the praise. I get the kudos.
That feels really good. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it's short term. Like you might put, you know, I was watching the second Mean Girls. You might do all these things to make a person more like you or different, but inside, like you said, they are who they are. And if they're not a good person, they're not a good person. You won't change that.
Yeah, or maybe they are a good person, but they're not a good fit for you.
Yeah.
They're not meeting the needs that you have to feel like you're heard, you're seen, you're loved and cared for. They're not matching the energy that you're putting into the relationship. They're a better fit for somebody else.
Yeah.
But it's just so hard to let them go because you care so much and you've invested so much. It's like, wow, what a waste of resources.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, energy that goes into like helping or trying to mold or shape someone into what you want them to be, what you envision them to be like, that ideal person for you.
Yeah.
It's just putting on a skin, like in the game Fortnite. You're just putting on a different skin. And when things get rough, that skin comes off and the real person shows up. Because if that person hasn't dealt with what's making them be a project to you, then what happens?
Yeah, they're not going to be showing up in the way that you need them to in that relationship. Right? You're going to be disappointed, and there's not going to be good communication.
Yeah. Am I going in the right direction, Rachel?
Yeah, yes, I think so. Yeah.
Cool.
So you're saying part of it feels good to like be that helper, that fixer, that savior, right? And I'm wondering, part of what you were saying about what, like, what you were learning through the TikToks, right? If this person that you're with is expressing essentially their lack of worth or value, right? I'm not good enough for you, you deserve better. If there's any part of you that feels that way, and you've been waiting for this, like, knight in shining armor to come along and help fix that for you, it feels like you're doing that for someone else. Like, I see in you what I have been too afraid to address in me, and so I'm gonna help you. And if I help you, then maybe you'll help me, and we'll both grow together.
It's the projection. If I see something in you that I also see in me, like kind of what Christ is talking about, take the plank out of your own eye and you're looking at someone else's stuff. I said the best that all of people can correct me later.
I
But
know what you're talking about.
you got the plank in your eye that you're
Yeah.
taking,
A
pointing out what's wrong.
toothpick or something out of someone else's. Yeah.
Like, what are you looking at someone else and trying to, fix in them? Well, probably you're trying to fix that in you. And a
Yeah.
project is really you trying to correct something that happened to you in your childhood, which is an attachment figure who didn't meet an unmet need for you growing up.
Yeah, it's like a mirror.
It's a mirror. Thank you,
It's like
Rachel.
a
It's a mirror.
mirror is what I'm figuring out. Yeah. Not the surface, right? Like, this person might be selling or using drugs, and that's something you've never done, you know? Like, it's that deeper emotional attachment need. Am I worthy? Am I valuable? Am I lovable? Am I good enough? Like, it's that part of the person that you see and understand and relate to that you want to help heal, because you know how badly that hurts yourself.
Well, the theory from attachment science and what I've read is that we attract the worst parent.
The caregiver that we had the most conflict, or maybe didn't always feel seen or heard by. Yeah.
And I don't know if that falls into the category of having a project relationship or not. I'm not sure. Does that fit or not?
I'm sure it relates at least some of the time, if not all the time. Yeah, for sure.
So if I see something in someone I'm dating that reminds me of the worst parent I ever had, the worst of the caregiver.
Subconsciously, because you're not gonna know it. You're not gonna be like, oh, they're just like my, this caregiver, right? Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, whoever.
No, because it's unconscious. The inner child attachment needs is over here, and she or he, they then longs for that attachment. And you see similar traits in that person, you're like, ooh, they can fix my inner child. I think that happens. Like you said, subconsciously. I don't know if that's the same as a project relationship versus trying to repair your inner child wounds. I don't know. Maybe not.
I think maybe how it relates is that inner child wound has created some type of insecurity, right? So there's fear in the person seeking a project. That doesn't realize they're seeking a project. We don't do it intentionally most of the time. It's this fear that says, I don't think I'll ever find the right person. I don't think that person exists. Someone that's really gonna see me for who I am and accept me and understand me. Right. I don't know that I'm fully lovable as me. Right? Some but maybe I'm lovable for what I have to offer.
Ooh.
Maybe if I can take someone and help them and nurture them and show them that I am just full of love to give, maybe they'll love me in return. You think?
Yeah, that's deep, Rachel. That's deep. That's good. Maybe if I become lovable to them, I am lovable.
So then we're met with the issue that always arises in this kind of relationship, which is this person is not changing.
Oh.
Right? I'm putting so much time and energy and love and attention. I am giving this person everything. I'm losing myself in this relationship because I'm literally giving them my heart and soul. Why is it not enough? Why am I not enough?
There's the block. Yeah. There's that block there. And so what's happening inside that person is them not, that other person not changing or not, growing inside individually. Is impacting how I feel about me.
Here you are taking on all of this person's behaviors and emotions as your responsibility. Right? Again, back to that mirror. This is a direct reflection of me, my worth, my value.
Yeah. You can keep pouring in. But if the cup has a hole, it's going to keep going out. So, what do we say in therapy? Each individual needs to work on their own internal stuff. You, as an individual, cannot be your partner's therapist.
Or their parent.
Or their parent.
You are never responsible for raising, healing your partner. Never.
You, yeah, exactly, Rachel. You're not responsible for being their older, wiser other because in a bond, in a same, age, peer bond, friendship, or a relationship, your job is to be there for that person and them to be there for you. You're not in the caregiving role. That's not correct. It's not correct.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you cannot fix, change, heal, parent, raise a partner, and you shouldn't
No.
have to. You should not have to.
No, it's just damn near impossible,
It
Rachel.
is. It is.
Yeah. Because you have a need, okay? You're looking for a partner to be there for you in the same way you are for them. So if you move into an older, wiser, other top-down relationship with this person, you're going to start treating them like they're beneath you. And
You
that's not
start resenting them because there's a part of you that knows this isn't fair.
so, yeah, it's that law of human nature of reciprocity, social reciprocity. I plan to always be there for Grant, and as much as God allows me to, the expectation that he does anything for me, that's not correct. Like, will he one day be my friend when he moves out? I hope and pray so. But there's no, it's, I'm to be there for him. Okay. There's not supposed to be a
That's the natural parent-child dynamic. But when that is happening in an adult-adult, intimate, romantic relationship, there's a huge blaring issue.
Yes. That you're taking on someone else's own stuff, and it's gonna cause resentment. Yeah. So a project becomes for you an unequal, ba imbalanced relationship.
Yeah, it's gonna feel really good at first. It's gonna be like, I'm in this good place. I'm okay. I don't need much. I don't ask for much. I hear that all the time. I'm like, maybe that's a problem, but we'll get into that.
You make a valid point.
Yeah, so it's gonna feel so good in the beginning because you have so much to offer this person. But when it gets to a point where it feels like everything you're offering isn't enough, you're not seeing the change that you were expecting or hoping for or need, boy, does that get exhausting. And boy, is that a lonely place to be in a relationship.
Yeah, because what happens when you're the one always giving?
You're drained.
Yeah. You're thinking and feeling for this other person. You're creating good times for this person. You're checking in with this person. You're buying this person something. I mean, it's on, you're just give, 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 give. And we're not Jesus. I tell people this all the time in the Christian community is I'm not Jesus. I'm human and I do wear out. Okay. Even Jesus took time on the mountain for 3 days away from people. I think it's 3 days. My preacher can correct me, but I think it's 3 days. He was like off and alone away from people, and he could, in that dynamic, they all people are projects to him. But in a human to human relationship, are you capable of always being there for somebody in every way?
I know I'm not. I'll
Unless
tell you that right now.
I'm
If
the
that's the expectation, I'm a fail every time because wow.
me too.
Woo.
Me too. I'm not going to know what you're hungry for today, Rachel.
Nope.
Even if I've known what you like to eat, you like oatmeal bars.
Yeah.
That's what I've seen you eat. But does that mean that's what you want today and what your baby wants? Maybe he doesn't.
Right.
Maybe not. You don't, like, I can't know. You couldn't make me responsible for what you're eating today.
Yeah.
That's asking a lot.
Oh my gosh, asking us so much. Yeah. So it goes back to, when people say, I don't ask for much, I don't ask for a lot. I do. We're not saying ask for the stars and the moon, but it's important to know what you need to feel safe and secure and loved in a relationship and to be able to ask for that. And usually people think, I think immediately like behaviorally, right? Like, but we're meaning more like metaphorically, like this felt sense. Like, I need to know that if I fall, you're gonna catch me. Right? It's not so much like I need to know you're going to say hi every time you walk in the door when you get home, even though that might be important to someone. It's like deeper than that. Like those are the things that let you know that deeper felt sense, that attachment need is being met. Right? I need to know that you're going to be there for me if I'm not able to take care of myself. I need to know that I have a partner and not a project.
Yeah, it's so important. So important. Good point. Yeah, that's the difference. Like, someone will be there for you. Like, if I get sick and I can't do anything, but Charlie will come online and help me in some way. That's called an equal partnership. But
Yeah.
if I'm doing it all alone, and then when he gets sick, I'm over there taking care of him. But when I get sick, he's not there to take care of me, not because of a disability. Not, we're not talking about disabilities here. Like,
Right.
someone can't get up and move, they can't.
Talking about if you're capable and
Yes.
not doing this. Yeah.
Right. Clarification there. Not someone with a disability. Because, people
Right.
get hurt along the way and things
Absolutely.
happen. Yeah. So it's, a project is just you looking for someone to fix. That's a
Yeah.
problem.
Yes. And it's dangerous because we all need to know that we matter in a relationship. We all need to feel worthy and that we're good enough. And I've never met anyone in a project relationship that is feeling that way. You are not going to feel like you matter.
That's true. That's true.
You're not going to feel like you're never going to feel like you're enough because you're going to be giving and giving and giving until you've got nothing left to give.
Nothing left.
And yeah, you're just left heartbroken, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, it's like that moment when you realize that, like, why is love not enough?
Well, Tina Turner said it. Love Tina Turner.
Yeah.
What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? Meaning, no matter how much I love Ike Turner, he still beat her, still physically harmed her. It was an abusive relationship. And love didn't have much to do with the relationship. It was a kind of a contract for business. And that's, even if she loved him, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for him to be nice and be kind
For him
and
to change.
gentle, for him to
It
change.
wasn't enough for him to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's perfect. Like, so Halle Berry, perfect. Her
Yeah.
husband cheats. I mean, it just,
Yeah.
come on. What are we doing?
Yeah.
You can't fix that person if they are innately sociopathic, narcissistic, psychopathic. If they are those things, if they're in the dark triad, as they say in psychology, you are not going to be able to move them in a different direction.
Yeah.
It's
Even
not
if
happening.
they're a good person at heart and you see all the potential in the world in them, but they're just really depressed or just really stuck, you know, and not making much movement in their life, even though you know they could, all the love in the world is not going to change them.
Nope.
Because they have to be the one that chooses change. It has to be their idea. They have to feel in control of it. The only way you can force someone to change is through coercion and manipulation, and that ruins relationships every time.
Coercion and manipulation, Rachel. Ooh, let's define coercion.
Yeah. It's like trying to, like, convince someone, you know, trying to like talk them into it.
Or manipulate them
Trick
by,
them. Yeah, go on.
love bombing, sending them thousands of roses, and you'll get that behavior for a little while that you want from them, and then it'll go away. It'll
Yeah.
dissipate.
Yeah. So coercion manipulation might look like they don't have a job, they won't get a job, they won't look for jobs. You know someone that's hiring, you go behind their back, you talk them up. You know, it's your friend that's hiring, so they give them a job. Right? Now they have a job. Woo! I did it. I rescued them. I saved them. Look at me. This is awesome. We're going to be great now. Because we're going to be more financially stable as a couple together. They find out what happened. They quit the job because they're upset, because that's embarrassing. Now they're mad at you for going behind their back. Or they won't take the job because they're not ready, because they're struggling with their mental health, or whatever. It could be a million examples, right? You are doing something with the best of intentions from your heart, but it's still coercion or manipulation because it's outside of that person's control, and you're forcing the change.
And if you grew up in a alcoholic family, or you grew up with a hostile, abusive caregiver, you might find yourself trying to control people for your own personal safety.
Oh, yeah.
And, getting into therapy and recognizing that you're a controller for those reasons, and how to heal that part of yourself using your true self will help you to not find a project.
Yes.
Your trauma saying, well, you got to control this person. People aren't safe. So I'm going to do this and do that, and I'll move them here like a chessboard. It never works. They go back to the same position on the chessboard because that's what they are. They might just be a pawn. They might be a knight. You don't
Yeah.
know.
That is their comfort zone in that moment of their life. And there is nothing that you are going to be able to do to push them outside of it. They have to be the one to inch out of their comfort zone.
So if you find yourself trying to repair someone else, take a step back. Is that kind of the message?
Yeah, I think so. And for people that are listening and maybe thinking, like, well, this isn't always true. People change, like, don't be such a Debbie Downer, Rachel. People change. I've
Oh,
seen
yeah.
it happen. I've changed. I say, yes, absolutely. People do improve and grow, but only if they're ready and only if they want to, not because somebody else wanted them to, or pushed them to, or forced them to.
Exactly. So if you set a boundary in a relationship, you say, well, every time from now on, if you keep calling me a beep, I'm going to leave every time you call me a beep. That's not manipulation. That's called a boundary. You're teaching the person, when you do this, it hurts me. When you say I'm not your person and you attack me in some way, I'm going to distance myself. I still care about you. And when you're harmful to me, I'm going to move back and I'm going to set a boundary here. I'm not going to change you.
Yes.
I'm going to control your behavior, but I can move away from you.
Yes. The boundary is what you do. It's your behavior. The boundary is what I have control over in that situation.
Your response to their behavior.
Yeah. Saying, don't call me a beep anymore is not a boundary. It's a
Nope.
request that person doesn't have to follow. They can choose to call you whatever flavorful word they wish, right? Yeah, the boundary is what you are going to do about it. The behavior that you are going to have in response, which is creating space, walking away.
Yeah, that's not you making it a project. That's you saying, I respect myself enough to move away from you when you're causing me harm in this relationship.
Yeah. I think that's important. I'm glad that topic of boundaries came up because I think people get that confused a lot, right? They think this, they say, this is a boundary. I don't want them to do this, but they never do anything in response. They get upset, because the behavior's hurtful. So of course they're going to get upset. But it's like, okay, the boundary is I'm not bringing my kids around. These people, if they are doing drugs and drink, right? Like, obviously, right? That's the boundary is what you're doing, what's within your control.
Yes, that's not a project. That's a boundary. A project relationship is I see, I see this person and I want to, you know, like in this that Clueless or in Mean Girls. Oh, she looks like someone I can, you know, change her outward at this and make her do this and, you know, coercion and manipulate this person to be something they're not, to fit the mold of what I want them to be, whatever that is. That's a project. That's not a boundary. Ah, great
So
topic.
boundaries and deciding what you want and need in a partner, like knowing that. Make a list for yourself. This is what I'm looking for. These are my pet peeves, right? Things that I don't really like, but I'm willing to compromise on. And these are my non-negotiable deal breakers. If this pops up, cheating, lying, abuse, substance abuse, I'm out. I'm leaving. Not putting up with this nonsense. So many people don't have a clear idea of what a healthy relationship would look like for them. And that's a lot of the time because they haven't really seen one. They haven't gotten to be around and witness one, no, so we can't blame anybody for not knowing what one looks like if they haven't seen that.
You're
But
right.
you can make a list of your own and have an idea of what you're looking for if you're out there dating.
Yeah. And even on your best days, a couple, you're going to have attachment ruptures and injuries that you're repairing. We're not talking about slights or, you know, you hurt someone's feelings by accident and not repairing.
Right.
That's a little different. I think what Rachel's communicating is good, that we're, what's okay and what's not okay? What's the line in the sand for you? Well, drinking, drugging, like I'm talking about drinking in excess, right? That's what I'm talking about. Drinking in excess, and that's the part that's not healthy. That's when it gets people start acting a little on impulse and aggressive, or you know, you have to know the line there, and there's a line. And that's if you didn't grow up having people respect your body or your own space, you may not know what that looks like. We've talked about that before. Yeah.
Yeah. So
And I'm not
hopefully.
Goat, I'm Linda Goat. I just noticed that. Did you
Oh,
see?
I didn't see that.
Let's rename that.
The name on the Zoom.
Yeah, I don't know if that will change it on the whole thing, but there you
There we go. Well, hopefully, we've given people a clear idea of what we're talking about when this conversation about, dating a project. And hopefully it's been insightful and helpful to someone. And now you've got maybe an idea of where to start with boundaries and expectations and relationships moving forward. Yeah. What do you hope we're leaving people with today, Linda?
Yeah, I'm hoping that they're feeling a little less burdened, like in the internal family therapy systems model, like not feeling as burdened to carry on other people's thoughts, feelings, choices, and actions, and being responsible to someone's person in that way. Unburdening. I hope we're unburdening folks.
Love that. Yeah, you're allowed to sit that down. You don't have to fix everyone. That doesn't have to be your responsibility.
Not at all.
Yeah, give that responsibility back to them because it's always been theirs to begin
That's
with.
good. Well stated, Rachel. Great topic today.
Thanks. Yeah, I've loved this conversation. All right. Well, until next time, everybody, take care.
Bye.
Bye.